You get baptized at a young age. And then the rest of your life, all the way up until a certain age, you're all over the place. And you wonder, did I really understand what I was getting into at age 8? And for some of you who've been here for the last month or so, when Justin announced that he wanted to be baptized, I kind of had an opportunity to talk with him one-on-one and one-on-two and drill him and grill him and question him over the pulpit. I just wanted to be as sure as I could. Because I'm not a big believer in baptizing folks unless they got the right stuff. I know some preacher, we baptized 100, we baptized 500, we baptized 1,000 in 2018. I'm going to get right into it. Look at verse 37. Philip said, this is just unique one to be baptized. And Philip said to him in verse 37, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. What's Philip saying to this eunuch? Can you say this to a baby? If I wanted to, I got some young babies here. Got Glorie's got a young baby here, and Karina, and got Oscar back there. Could I ask them? Could I walk up to your baby and say, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah?" Mm-mm. Let me say, mm-mm. Why? Because they don't have an understanding. So what's that say about infant baptism? Some people teach infant baptism. They say, well, I was baptized as an infant. What did that do? Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. What's that mean? What's it mean when Justin got baptized? What's that a symbol of? It's a symbol. It follows the confession of faith. Okay? Without a confession of faith, there's no baptism. So Justin confessed with his mouth that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Amen. Now, I've been teaching on these subjects for a while there. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay, some people say, you know, my last name is Neil, so if I sign something, I sign it Keith Neil. That's my last name. But Christ is not Jesus' last name. Amen. Christ signifies that Jesus is the Christ, meaning he's the Messiah. He is the one that is coming to die for the sins of the world. Nobody else can do that. Amen. Nobody else can do it. Jesus was the only one that can do it. And in order for you to be a Christian, okay? Now, I know we live in a world where everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian, okay? Cardi B is a Christian. I know that's hard for some of y'all to believe. But I heard something she had wrote, and some one of her fans had died, and she had this thing where she said, I'm not going to go any further with that, Cardi B. Okay? Y'all know her. Some of y'all do. Everybody's a Christian. The only way you can be a Christian is to be saved. Let me say it. Can I say it? Okay. The only way you can be a Christian, you can say what you want. Okay. I can say I played NFL football and I played, you know, in 3 Super Bowls. You know, I can say whatever I want to say. Okay. And some people will believe me. The only way you can be a Christian is that you have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to this earth to die for your sins. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. And you have to believe that. Mm-hmm. with all your heart and with all your soul. And that's what Philip asked this eunuch. And this eunuch had this burning question. He wanted to know. He wanted to know for sure. And all of us in here should have that same desire. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. You ought to have that same desire. One of the ways that you will know, if you got the right stuff, you'll have a burning desire to learn and to grow and to fellowship and to pray and to be among God's people. Philip asked him, if thou believest, believest mean trust, and have committed your life to him and your heart and your soul to this man Jesus. And guess what his answer was? You see in the scripture, his answer was, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What happens when you believe? What makes this, what I say is a great experience for Jesse, but because he accepted Jesus Christ and he was baptized in Jesus' name, what is so wonderful about that? I would ask these questions. See, I ask the Bible questions. And I hear a preacher preach, I'm going to ask him some questions. Why? The first thing I would ask, why is it so wonderful that he accepted Jesus Christ? Okay? That's legit. Let me give you some verses. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. Don't try to turn to them. If you're a writer, try to write them. Keep up with me. I'm kind of quick. Now, I'm in Acts 2:37. Now, watch this now. Peter just preached to these folks. He's preaching the gospel to these folks, and they are hearing him. And their hearts have been pricked, and they want to know how can they be saved. That should be the desire of all preachers. When he's preaching to folks that don't know the Lord, or maybe don't know, or maybe a little confused, you want to prick their hearts. Okay? Now, when they heard this, verse 37, Acts 2, they were pricked in their heart. They said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do so we won't die in our sins and go to hell? What shall we do? And Peter said unto them, here we go, repent.
Come on now.
Turn. Walk away from some stuff. Change your mind about who Jesus is. Change your mind about the role that you on. Repent. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Nobody want to talk about repenting. I like to talk about repenting. Nobody like to talk about repenting because we want to come. They just want to come to Jesus. Everybody's come. Fill the church up. And we got everybody happy. We don't want to tell them that they're living in sin. We don't want to tell nobody they ain't on their way. They're on the wrong road. We want everybody to be happy. But if you're going to be a Christian, then God has to give you the gift of repenting. Okay? Two things God gives every believer. Every believer gets two things from God. The ability to repent, the gift of repentance, and the faith to believe. Let me say that again. The gift of repentance and the faith to believe. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without repenting, it's impossible to please God. You cannot just go your merry way and please God. It's going to be some change. So Peter, they asked Peter, they said, Peter, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus. Now this is what you get. For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Huh? Isn't that something wonderful? And you ought to be splashing in that water. And I'm going to hold the water till next week. I'm not going to drain it. Told Deacon Jeremy, I'm not going to drain it. Because somebody may want to get baptized next week.
Amen.
Because when you get saved, your sins are forgiven. How about that?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be a load off your mind? Wouldn't that be a load off your back? Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He can take all our sins. We got some stuff. I believe it's enough stuff in here and right now weighing some folks down, weighing folks down.
Amen. Amen.
When you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, He gives you a sinless life. All your sins have been forgiven. That's hard to believe. Let me give you another one. Paul writing to Titus, and he's planting a church. He's starting a church. He said, this has to happen. He said, this has to be taught, Pastor Timothy. He said, Pastor Titus, this has to be taught. In Titus 3:3, he says this, and I heard Deacon Jeremy saying the same thing today. He said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish.
Amen.
I raised my hand. Sometimes foolish, sometimes disobedient. Deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Keep on saying amen, amen, all that. But, here we go. But, after the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appear, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when He appeared in our lives, when we accepted Him as Savior, as Lord, things changed.
Amen.
And we didn't have to do nothing. Don't let no preacher tell you, you got to do this and you got to do that. You got to do this, you got to do that. Listen. But after the kindness of and the love of God our Savior toward men appear, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. How about that? According to His mercy. We're not mercy. We're not merciful folks. Right now, some of us right now, we mad at folks. Okay? I work in a prison system, and I hear the officers, they say, if he was on fire on the side of the road, I wouldn't urinate on him. They don't say it like that. And I'm sitting here like, how you get so much hate in your heart? And then God taps me on the shoulder and said, if it wasn't for me, you'd be the same way. You would say the same stuff.
Amen.
See, I ain't been saved all my life. Okay? I wasn't born saved. Nobody is. Paul says this. He says, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy. What is mercy? Somebody say, I talk like this. What is mercy? What is mercy? Think about mercy. Think about what is mercy? Somebody, what's compassion? It is. It's God not giving us what we deserve. Think about our lives. Think about some of the things we say and do and have done. God says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration. How about that? By the washing of regeneration. When we talk about, oh, it was the blood. His blood cleansed us from all our sins.
Amen.
His blood washes us. His blood cleanses us, washes us. And we ought to rejoice like that eunuch did. What's it mean to rejoice? When that man, when he left and his sins were forgiven, his life was changed. He had been converted. Listen, let me give you a few things that made him rejoice. His conversion. If you saved in here, you ought to be one of the happiest people in the room.
Amen.
I go to church, I talk to church people. I'm like, man, they must got a lemon in their pocket. They walk around living in their pocket. Their lips always poked out, always. Hey, I'm like, what kind of Holy Ghost you got? We ought to be happy. We ought to be happy. And I don't mean just happy because we got something, happy because something happened. We ought to be happy because we've been converted, we've been changed. And if all hell broke out of life right now, it wouldn't matter. It'd get better. Okay? He had found Christ. He had found Christ, and he his soul had been set free. How about that?
Amen.
How about that? His hope and his faith was sealed. The Bible said sealed. Nobody could take it away. Once saved, always saved. He was truly saved. Nothing could happen that was going to take him out of his relationship with the Lord. How about that? Some of you got these babies in here. Listen, there ain't nothing babies can do. And they can grow up and be gangsters. Whatever. Don't matter. Still your baby. Still your baby. You're gonna have, it don't matter. They can do all kind of crazy stuff. Still your baby. Let's keep going. We're talking about what now? This ain't just for Justin, for all of us. Definitely for me, because I told you I had to get baptized again.
Amen.
Okay? I had to get rebaptized. And I don't know if people say, what do you mean rebaptized? I had to get rebaptized. I got baptized and I didn't know what was going on. Everybody was getting baptized. I got baptized. It was fun. We're getting in the water. And I was like, that looked like fun. And I got baptized. And after I got baptized, I lived a hellish life. Then I did it again. After I had some understanding.
Amen.
After I had some understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. He was saved from his sins. He believed. He believed. That's the key. He believed. This is why I drilled Justin. I drilled him. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? He's like, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Do you believe? Because you're going to go through some stuff, bro.
Amen.
Your belief is going to be tested. And I want to make sure you know what you signed up for. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Okay? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What does it mean to be baptized? To be immersed. The word really means to be immersed under the water. That's what it means to be baptized. And you come out of that water, what's it represent? Going in the grave. When you come up out of that water, you're alive, you're a new person. Okay? Your sins have been washed away. I like that.
Yes.
I like that. Your sins have been washed away. The baptism is just symbolic. Ain't nothing happening in that water. But it's symbolic of your sins being washed away.
Amen.
Acts 22 and 16 say, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. How? Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to call on him every day. How many here know and call on the Lord every day?
Amen.
Every day. One way or the other, get to calling on the Lord every day. Every day. Listen. We talk about being dead to sin. We talk about being dead to sin. How about that? How many know what it means to be dead to sin? Yeah, I say stuff. I want people to make sure they understand. What's the pastor? What's it mean to be dead to sin? Because sin is alive and it's all around me. And I'm being attacked by sin all the time.
Amen.
So how can you sit there and say we ought to be dead to sin? What are you talking about? Sin ought not have power over your life. Amen. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. But you ought not be identified as one that sin just do whatever it want to do with you. You have no defense. Okay? Of course you're gonna struggle. Of course you're gonna battle. But let me tell you something. You won't know how good God is until you step out on his faith. You won't know the power of God in your life till you try it. You ever get somebody, you got a new food, a new ice cream? You ever go, some folks go to Katie's Corner or Handles and just give me vanilla. Try some of this crazy stuff. You might like it. How many like ice cream now that they never would have thought about liking? Yeah. Why? Because they had to try it. And again, sometimes you got to step out on faith. Step out on faith. I don't know if this can work. How will you know? How would Peter know if he could walk on water? If he never got out of the boat?
Amen.
If he never took one step, how would he know? See, Paul says that when you get the Spirit of God, when you are saved and born again, you get a new spirit in you. And you got to see if it work. You got to test it. You know, we say, who will buy a new car? Who will buy a motorcycle or a new car or anything? How many going to buy, who going to go buy a gun and never take it to the fire range and shoot it? Take a fishing pole and buy a new fishing pole and never take it out on the lake and see what it do. This is life. And Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. What's that mean? If you're in Christ, Christ's gonna do some. He's gonna do some inventorying. See, my wife here, and she don't like getting rid of stuff. She like keeping stuff. I get on her all the time, and you know we got all kind of stuff in the house. And you know, I say you need to get rid of some of that stuff. Been saying that a long time. She get rid of stuff, and it keep coming back. And you know, she get rid of stuff, and you know, I be in the house, and she said, "Oh, I thought she was at work," and she got 5 bags from Gabe's. I'm like, he like, "Oh, I didn't know you was home." And she got all them bags on the patio. But let the word of God say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. See, this is what it means. This is what Justin was trying to explain to us when he went in the water. He said, "I'm gonna come out of this water. I'm a new creature."
Amen.
Okay. And he's gonna be tested.
Amen.
Okay, because Satan seen him going down that water.
Amen.
See, I wasn't the first person here this morning. Now I got here around 7:30. But guess who was already here? Oh, y'all having a baptismal? He was already here. He might have been in the water. He said, "Oh, Justin, no, you leaving me, huh? You leaving me. You don't want to run with me no more, huh?" He going to keep on pressing and pressing and pressing. Okay? And how many are here right now today? Satan keep still beating your drum.
Yeah.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things, behold, all things have become what? New. You got to walk in a newness of life. Paul said it in Romans 6. He says, therefore, we are buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism. Go on, listen, in the water, representing we've died. That old man has died. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk how? In newness of life. Newness of life. God has given us a new way to live.
Amen.
When we come to Christ. Paul says, we like babes. And you got all these babies in here. I love baby illustrations. You got all these babies in here. Guess what? They want something to eat. Guess what happens when they don't eat? They start screaming. Okay? Guess what happens if they don't eat and they start screaming and you don't feed them? Children's services come to visit you. Because they got to grow.
Amen.
This is what I meant when I say, Justin, you know, when he prayed today, a year from now, he's going to be stronger and stronger and stronger. And guess what? If he don't grow, and if he don't get stronger and stronger and stronger, what do we got? What do we got? A sick Christian. What happens if that baby don't start growing? Keisha, baby, if Oscar don't start growing, that doctor, you take that baby to the doctor and he puts his finger in his face and go side to side, watching his motor skills up and down, watching to see if his head ride. Now, if he ain't doing nothing, guess what you got? You got a problem. So if 2 years from now, Justin's standing up here or refuses to stand up here, guess what we got? We got a problem. Something wrong with your Christian life, because it's not growing. See? And that's what we ought to be doing as Christians. We ought to be going from milk. Sooner or later, all the babies gonna be doing what? They ain't gonna be taking that bottle. Okay? Get Keely in the bottle. It's over with. You know, you take Keelan or take Keelan now. Hell, you 15? How old are you? 15? Guess what? You go to Bob Evans eating off the kids menu? Because he's growing. That's my point. He's growing. And as children of God, born again believers, we ought to grow. Paul says, I fed you milk and not with meat. Here too, ye were not able to bear, neither were you able as a child. But as he grows, he's going to get stronger and stronger. I have expectations for someone to tell me they're a Christian. They ought to be getting stronger. Okay? I go to the gym. I talk about going to the gym. I see people, and they've been going to the gym all their life, and they ain't built a muscle. And I'm like, you've been going to the gym long as me. And you ain't built a muscle. Because you got to grow. You got to put some weight on it. And you got to put some stress on it. You got your life going to do all that. And you either going to grow or you're going to fall to the wayside. You got to grow. You got to grow. And you got to understand that as a new baby, as a new Christian, you're in a dangerous time. The most dangerous time of your Christian life is when you make that public confession and you're baptized. Satan's going to come after you. Okay? And you got to make, he's going to toss you. He's going to hit you with everything he got. Why? The best time to stop somebody from growing is when? When they start, when they just start off. Some of us get discouraged so easy. We see other Christians, they life so messed up. We don't want to have nothing to do with them. That's how God is. We don't want nothing of it. Let me tell you. Let me read this text to you out of Matthew 3. And here's Jesus when he got baptized. How many know Jesus got baptized? Amen. He didn't have to confess no sin. He was sinless. He didn't have to confess any sins. He wasn't getting baptized because he was a sinner. He was getting baptized because it was the tradition that he got baptized. Okay? Now, Matthew 3 and 16, Jesus, and when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water and to the heavens. And to the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, what happened in chapter 4? That was the last verse in chapter 3. What was, now, verse number 1 of chapter 4 starts off like this. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Soon as he made a public confession that he was baptized, the devil came and showed up on the scene. That's how life is for the believer. And Satan wants you to fall. Satan wants you to fall. And I'm not talking to Justin. I'm talking to all of us. Amen. And see, some of us right now may be dragging a leg. We may be weak. We may be in at a point in our life where we're struggling. Sin has got us weighed down. And we're really going through. And Satan is looking for strong people to attack. He wants you to start getting away from the Word of God, getting away from the people of God. Stop going to church. Start being sporadic with your church attendance and your Bible study. And you know, now you start listening to little secular music. And next thing you know, you right back where you started from. God knew that, and he said this to Peter. He said, "Simon, Simon." He said, "Peter, Peter, Satan have desired to have you, to sift you as wheat." As wheat. He wanted to take Peter and just sift him. Sift him. You get cheese and you get certain flours and you sift it. It just breaks it all up. Breaks it all up. Peter never forgot that lesson. Peter never forgot that lesson. You know what Peter would teach to the believers today? My life verse. Some verses that I don't even have to read the Bible. I just know them because I understand what I'm up against. And so I hope nobody sit here and say, "Well, you know, y'all pastor, you know, he got it all together." Ain't no pastor got it all together. Okay? Ain't no pastor got it all together. Ain't no deacon got it all together. Ain't no choir director got it all together. Ain't no usher got it all together. Ain't no church folk got it all together. Amen. It's a struggle. It's a battle. And it's a daily, daily battle. People say, all you talk about is daily battle, daily battle. It's just a daily battle. Some of us know when we go home, we got a battle. Somebody owes some money or something. Who knows? Might be a landlord in here. first of the month, you know. And he told me you're going to pay me first of the month. Peter, after that rebuking word from God, said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, Peter. Pay attention. What Peter write? 1 Peter 5, 8, Peter wrote this. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Huh? How many felt Satan's attacks? How many have escaped the clutches of Satan? He wants your marriage. He wants your children. He wants your heart. He wants your soul. He wants your praise. I mean, he, the word, John 10:10 says, Satan, the enemy comes but to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Pay attention, children of God. Listen. Why do so many Christians fall? Why so many saved folk fall? Why so many folks get baptized and struggle? And I just use the scriptures. Now, I ain't had these answers. I can't give you these answers outside of God's word. Here's one. Some folks think we're too strong. Some say folk get high and mighty. They get haughty. They think they're invincible. I don't need God. I can handle this on my own. Paul says, listen, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. You better pay attention, saint of God, child of God, man of God, deacon of God, treasurer of God, janitor of God. We all have to pay attention. Because we can get too high and mighty and think we're invincible. We're invincible. Well, wonder if I fall big time. Wonder if I fall big time. Let me tell you something. Here's a wonderful verse. I'm going to get you some really pleasant verses. John write to the believers. You're going to fall. You may have a big fall. You may have a big problem in your life. Something come up big, okay? Paul, John writes this and says this. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you. Watch this now. That ye sin not. God don't want us to sin, but he know we in this flesh. And as long as we in this flesh, we're going to struggle with sin. That's just automatic, okay? Don't think you better than your flesh. Okay? That flesh going to be on you till you shed it. That's why the Bible says flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of God. But he says, if any man sin, this is the John speaking, the gospel, the apostle John. He says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What's he saying? You got an attorney just waiting if you fall. And is there anything like having an attorney, and you walk in there and your attorney say, don't worry about nothing. The judge is my Father.
Amen.
You when you walk in the courtroom like that, y'all think Jesse Smollett got off. He got 16 charges dropped. That's it. And people say, they want to do this and do that. Let me tell you, how many charges have you got off on? He got 16 dropped like everybody. Like, oh, they gotta call the FBI. Okay, call the FBI. Don't call him on me though, because I got more than 16 dropped. Okay, I might get 16. Okay. I look over there, Vernon. How many? You get Jesse. Jesse ain't got nothing on us. If we understand this thing.
Amen.
Okay? See, Jesus dropped all the charges. Amen. For the man of God, for the woman of God. When you get saved, when God saved you, listen, Jesus dropped all the charges. You walk in the courtroom and they say, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Who's representing you, sir? Jesus. Okay. Case dismissed. See? That's some beautiful stuff, ain't it? Man, that's some beautiful stuff. Case dismissed. Next. And he, the next person come up there with one little charge and throw the book at him. Listen, folks. Be a good example. And what happens when a person gets baptized, they go in that water, they come up out of that water, they say, right now, watch me, watch me. He did, all y'all just came out here to see Justin. What Justin is saying is, watch me. Well, I'm putting you on the spot, ain't I, Justin? Yes, I am. Putting you on the spot. But yeah, you telling everybody, watch me. You ought to go back, go to school tomorrow, tell the principal, tell your homeroom teacher, tell all your teachers, hey, I got baptized yesterday at church. Watch me. Okay? Watch how I behave in school. Watch how I turn all my homework in on time. Watch how I'm the best student in the class. Watch me. I'm the example now of faith and holiness in this school. See, we don't look at life like that. Okay? That's what he's saying to me. This is why I call him out. Don't want to do it. Paul didn't like baptizing folks. Paul said, I'm glad I ain't baptized but two of y'all. That's it. Paul baptized two people. Why? Because folks running around thinking because they got baptized, they going to heaven. And they put more emphasis on the act of baptism than the substance of baptism. And see, it's what happens before you get baptized that means the most. Going in the water just saying, this is what happened. Oh, you don't hear me. Ain't nothing happening in that water. Okay, if you weren't saved before you went in, you ain't going to be saved coming out. Okay? If you ain't saved going down, you ain't going to be saved coming out. Some people say, oh, man. I went into the water. I came out of the water, man. I mean, I was speaking in languages I didn't even understand. I mean, I know I was saved because I... No, listen. Let me share this verse with you. So I don't like to argue over scripture because I get in trouble with that stuff. Because people say, no. Something happens in that water. Nothing happens in that water. Okay? Philip. Acts 8:37 again. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest get baptized. Baptism is a symbol, is symbolic of that something has happened in your heart and soul. Okay? And because something has happened, you're going to say, listen, I'm going to get baptized and I'm going to make this thing public. I want everybody to know that something happened. Oh, come on. Listen. How do I stay on this beaten path? How do I do this? Pastor, you put up a portrait of something that really seems impossible. It is impossible. It's impossible. You need something supernatural working in you to be a Christian. People say, hey, listen, I'm just telling you like it is. Acts 1:8 said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive what? Power. You say, well, I got this addiction. I got this problem. I can't handle these boys. I can't handle these girls. Okay? Welcome to the club. Welcome to the real world. Okay? Now you need something supernatural to work it in you. You say, you and your wife been married 36 years. How you do that? Listen, let me tell you something. Without God, it wouldn't have lasted 6 years. As a matter of fact, we was battling at 6. But God. But God. Amen. But God. And folks want to, how I want to get married. How are we going to stay together? You know, and he cheat and he do this and that. Well, that's what he's going to do. Till he gets saved. And if he cheating after he gets saved, then something wrong with his saved. Just telling you like it is. Okay? See, God can do the impossible. I hear people all the time, they struggling in their marriage, and they struggling in their relationship, they struggling with this. I said, let me tell you something. You tell me you're a Christian, right? and you tell me you're a Christian, and you tell me that the God you serve parted the Red Sea, and the God that you serve opened a blind man's eyes, and the God you serve raised a dead man from the grave. But the God you serve can't hold your marriage together. What how does sense that make? Somebody talk to me. What kind of God you serve that's so weak can't change one man when he parted the Red Sea? How do I do this? Listen. I know. I'm a nosy preacher. I get in people's business. Love him. Love God first. So I gotta love God more than I love Cindy.
Amen.
Okay, if I love Cindy more than God, then Cindy's my God.
Uh-oh.
Okay? Uh-huh. I love God more than I love her, and that's the way God has it, and she ought to enjoy that.
Amen.
See, God is a God of order. You find you a man, and you find you a woman, and I get on people, I say, ain't nothing in the Bible about dating. You ain't gonna find one verse in the Bible about dating. Well, we dating. Well, you've been dating for 2 years. How long are you gonna date? If you both love the Lord, 95% of it is done. Okay? So you find you a woman that love the Lord, you find your man that love the Lord, y'all got 90% of it. Now, if he or she is a Steeler fan, that could be a problem if you're a Browns fan. But that ain't enough to cause that much problems. You understand what I'm saying? Love the Lord. Listen, man walked up to Jesus. Said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. See, Jesus didn't mix it. And if you don't know how to love the Lord, you don't know how to love nobody. Let me say that again.
Amen.
If you don't know how to love the Lord, you don't know how to love nobody. And so if you meet somebody and they say, oh, I love you, and they don't love the Lord, they don't love you. Because God is love.
Amen.
Well, who taught you how to love? I'm just sexy, sexy, sexy. That ain't gonna hold you 36 years. Okay? Cause that sexiness gonna be on the floor. That sexiness gonna have ED.
Uh-oh.
Y'all ask y'all parents what ED is later. Y'all. Keisha, can I keep it real? God asked him, and the man asked God, he said, I'm worried about everything, I'm worried about everything, I'm worried about everything. Some of y'all in here, worried about everything. Oh, I'm worried about everything. Worried my check gonna come on time. Worried about this, worried about this, and this, and this. God said, listen, you can't serve me and worry at the same time. Mm-hmm. You can't pray and worry at the same time. You either worry or pray. You can't do both. Okay? And God said, listen, here's what you do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Now there's a flip side to addition, subtraction. See, sometimes God will subtract some things to add some things. See, sometimes we don't have what we need because we don't like to subtract. Rich young ruler come running up to Jesus. He wanted the kingdom of life. He wanted eternal life. He wanted it. He said, what must I do to get it? And Jesus said, one thing get you into heaven, boy. He says, go sell all that you have and give to the poor. Now, he don't ask all of us to do that, but this was his problem. And yours might be something else, and you know what it is. Something come to your mind. If God was to say to you, there's one thing you need to stop doing if you want to go to heaven. Everybody in here got a one thing. I don't know what your one thing is, but I know what my one thing is. And I'm dealing with my one thing. Okay? Two things, three things. You know. But if he only asks me one, that's like I get to keep the other four. Yeah, am I making sense?
Amen.
What's your one thing? If God said you got one thing you need to stop doing, if you can have it, you can have heaven. Would you turn and walk away? He turned and walked away because his one thing was stuff. He was materialistic, okay? And ours may be something else. How do I do this thing? Oh, Pastor, how do I do this thing? Listen, study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. I give you the illustration with the baby. If them babies going to grow, you got to feed them. Let me tell you something. And they're going to be coming off that formula. You come back to this church 3-4 years from now, they're going to be running all around. They're going to be running all around. And the more they run, the more they eat. Okay? And they're not going to be on milk. They ain't going to want that bottle. They're going to take that bottle and throw it. Okay? Bon Bon took the bottle. Yes, they said they feed took the bottle. Next thing you know, it was flying across the room. Enough. I had enough for this bottle. Listen. Study the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Approved. Approved by who? Not man, but approved by God. A workman. One who what? Righteously devised the word of truth. And righteously means some of the stuff God's word going to tell you to do, you ain't going to want to do. You ain't going to want to do, but you need to do it. James writes saying to his church, James said this, and I know I'm getting ready to close, I can be long. James said this, wherefore, James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, watch this now, which is able to save your souls. Amen. My Paul, James said, receive with meekness. He said, take it easy. But there's some things that you need to clean up in your life. Okay? Receive them meekly. Word of God isn't always comfy. Okay? And I tell you all the story. When I got saved, I was doing some stuff. I was doing some stuff and God just chipped away. You know, there was a time I spent all day. It was just every Sunday I'd be on the golf course. On a day like this, I'd probably be out on the golf course. And I golfed and golfed and golfed. And when God came to my life and said, look, I ain't calling you to be a golfer. And the golf club just went away. And the desire for golfing just went away. And the desire for other things just went away. You can't serve God and man and stuff.
Amen.
Okay? And you have to ask God, say, God, take this desire away. See, them are the kind of prayers he answered. See, we too busy praying for BMWs and stuff. God said, pray for something with some substance. Pray to God, Lord, I got this desire for this thing, and it ain't good. Take it away. And I guarantee he'd take it away. Okay? See, we praying all the time, you know, heal this, heal that, heal this, heal that. You know, let me tell you something, okay? Ask God to give you strength to overcome some stuff. He'll answer that. All right, I'm closing. I got pages and pages of stuff, but I'm closing. I am. Conclusion. I'm going to burn it and walk out on me. Talking about his shoulder hurt. See, you can do this in a small family church. We talk about people. They still love you. I go to mega church, they keep my car. Listen, I'm gonna say this. And maybe this out of all the verses, I direct this one to Young Justice because he took a big step. Okay? And God is talking to the church. And he's saying, I know what you're going through. Watch what he says. And think about this. All of us in here to say we Christians. All of us in here to say we Christians. Myself included. I'm a us are. And how we do? Us are and we. I don't do the I. Us are and we. Because we all going through. And he says this, and Paul, and Jesus writes to the church in the seven churches in Revelation 2. He says this to the church of Smyrna. Excuse me, to the church of Ephesus. And we, if I was asked a Bible study question, what was Ephesus' problem? Ephesus lost their first love. They didn't love the Lord, even though they was busy. They didn't love the Lord like they started off. And they ought to have been getting stronger. They was staying the same or getting weaker. And Jesus says to this church, he says, thou hast borne, hast patient for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Watch this now. You don't want Jesus talking to you and putting a nevertheless in there. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Let me tell you something. Justin, this is for you. You got to be growing. You got to be growing. You got to be growing. Just as you grow as a man, you got to grow in the Spirit of God the same way. And you done got tall. You done got big. I remember when I first met you, it had been 10 years ago. You were like 1 year old. You come off as in, and we had this little game we played all the time, and you would touch my little man on the, and I'd chase you out of my office. You remember that? He'd come in there, and he'd touch it. I said, get out of here. He'd go to running. He laughed because he know the story. But what my point is, he's grown. And he has to grow the same way in the things of God. And it's like I do. I have to keep growing as a pastor. I have to keep growing as a man of God. I have to keep growing. I have to keep studying. I can't come in here and preach y'all the same message the same week in and week out. Y'all got stuff get old. People are like, hey, preach that. How many times have you been here? I know how folk is. Like, man, that's the fifth time he preached that. You know, some of y'all mark it in your Bible. What day I preach certain things on. I know Ann and Margaret do. Let's close. Let's close. I say what I say, and I love you guys. I love all you guys coming out to see Justin, and we're going to fellowship. I hope everybody can stick around as we fellowship. Because to me, getting baptized is big. It's a big day. And I hope I made it big for everybody. And I know many of us have been baptized, and we may not live up to some of the things that I said, but God is still a God of second chances, third chances, and you heard the message of God. And maybe I've been baptized and, you know, I'm not rejoicing and I'm not living up to what, you know, I'm not living up to that. Guess what? Today, Bible says, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. This is a day that the Lord have made. We ought to be glad and rejoice in it. But we rejoice in it because it's a new day. It's a fresh start. And you may have had a bad weekend. I had a bad weekend, Pastor. You may have had a bad month. Amen. March might have been a bad month. But guess what? Today's a new day. Today's a new day. And we can ask God, listen, 1 John 1 9 says, if we what? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. And to say, you know what? Get back in the game. I'll be watching these basketball games and a kid make a bad foul, a bad call or something. Coach, get out of here. Come over here. Sit him on the bench. Talk to him. Guess what? Put him right back in the game later on. Let him cool down. See, sometimes God has to cool us down. Amen. Cool us down. Pull us out of the game. Come on. You know, that wasn't a good play. Come on, sit down here and take a break and process everything. And then when the game be on the line, he put his best player back in the game. Every one of us in here is God's best players. Yeah. Every one of us in here is God's best players. And we make mistakes, and he pulls us out of the game for a little while. He may shake us up, okay? He may put us on the back, put some IVs in us, and then say, you know what? Get back in the game. Do better.
Amen.
Do better. Amen. 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 I appreciate you guys.